Today, as we go forward, you might note I've got in front of me your handout. Happy Pastor has been passing out first some white sheets that dealt with divine law and natural law, then some green sheets as we dealt with the three classes of divine law: ceremonial, civil, moral, and began going through and talking about human law. We took a look at some passages from Martin Luther in which he applied these particular things and talked about how the civil law was intended only for the nation of Israel, and the ceremonial laws too have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and so only the moral law applies. There is a gray sheet that dealt with marriage. We applied it to revealed law and natural law and took a look at these. One of the main points that was brought forth in this gray sheet was about how the natural law does not contradict with the divine law. Instead, we said it doesn't go as far as the divine law in revealing itself. Nevertheless, they do not contradict. Natural law teaches us that human life is important. You shall not kill. So also does the revealed law, the fifth commandment. So we looked at this as it related to marriage as well. We said this is built into natural law. It is built into the biology of the fact that only a man and a woman can procreate, and therefore this needs to be protected. And we went through that. The last two things that we have gone through, and those are the two that I passed out to you, were the white sheets, page 1-4, dealing with the three estates, and then the last handout that I've given is the yellow sheets, dealing with the Christian as he is in two kingdoms. That we spent quite a bit of time on last... Turn this off. We spent quite a bit of time on last week, and we began to move into how are we going to apply this? I kept saying, we need to apply it, but I keep holding you off. I'd like to begin applying it today. The ways that we're going to start is I'm going to try to direct ourselves to some easier situations in society today in which I'm going to ask you some questions that are going to direct us back to some of the things that we have studied, and then we'll move to more difficult ones or ones that involve more of these issues. As you can see, there's lots of scriptural teaching that this can apply to, 6-7 page or handouts full of pages that I've gone through. I do need to clarify one thing before we go forward, because as I explained the three estates, which were the household and the state and the church, and we talked about those being separate spheres of activity, as well as ways in which God, hierarchies God has set up by which he takes care of various things. In the church, he takes care of the soul. In the household, he creates and raises children. In the state, we provide for the protection of the body and possessions, or we would say of the family. So one creates the children, the other protects those who then are the children in those households, as well as provides peace in a country so that the church might proclaim the gospel. So we presented those three things. I did, as we went on to the second kingdom, distinguish between the state and the household, the state and the family, as being secular, that is, dealing with the stuff of this world, as opposed to the church. I made some claims in which I pointed out that your job as a ruler or your job as a father, I'm dealing with those two kind of estates and often this here, I said, are no different whether you are a Christian or not a Christian. What did I gave some examples. I said, if you're a Christian ruler, I want, or if you are a ruler, I want you to punish evildoers and reward those who do right. I don't want you acting different. You don't say, oh, well, I'm a Christian ruler, so I forgive people and I don't punish them and I allow wickedness to go on. No, absolutely not. I want you to do your job. Same thing we said as a father. What do you do? As a father, whether you're a Christian or non-Christian, you provide clothing, you provide food, you provide a house, you teach your children to live in right and wrong. Even natural knowledge, we said, teaches us you don't take other people's stuff, you don't harm. Those are all the same, granted. And that's what I went. I want to make one more point. Having made that point, if you go to the back of your white sheet or page 4, my son, when he was here 2 Sundays ago, I think it was, said, I can see where a Christian father would act differently. And then I said, nope, here's... Now, relating to father, yes, but this diagram on the back of page 4 does teach exactly what he was getting at. And I think as it says, insofar as we are in the estate of being a Christian, it will, you would say, as we live in the home and as we live in the state, it will have an effect. Yes, it will. Now, not in regards to the ruling, not in the regards to the fathering, but we would say, what would a father do? He would go beyond his role as a father and say, not only am I going to provide for your physical welfare, I'm going to take you to church. That would be his being a Christian. A ruler would say, I am going to sentence you to 30 years in jail. And yet, you would say, personally, as a Christian, he might say, and I'm going to pray for you. I'm not going to do this in anger and malice. Nevertheless, I'm going to do my job. I want to make sure that we understand that, yes, you as a Christian, whether it is as an employer, as an employee, as a father, as a bus driver, as whatever, yes, I want to make sure that, what? You don't cease to be a Christian. You are still a Christian. Yet, it doesn't, I want to be careful. Maybe you've heard my example of the bus driver. I was in, I think it was Texas for a synodical convention, and we were all boarding this bus, and I was kind of the last one, so I had to sit way up front. And I looked up front, and there is the bus driver in his front seat. He had a dashboard in front of him in which he had an open Bible in front of him. And as he is driving through the streets of Houston, he is looking down and reading his Bible because he's a Christian bus driver. And I wanted to say, I'm a pastor. Close that Bible and drive, right? If that's what it means to be a Christian bus driver, you know, you're going to take us to heaven real quick here. Stop it, okay? That is not what we mean, okay? Yes, he's a bus driver, and yes, he's a Christian. Very well. I want him to do his bus driving correctly. As regards his being a Christian, you know, don't let it, quote, interfere, but it doesn't really change. You can't drive a bus in a Christian way. That's my first point. Nevertheless, is it going to have an effect? Yes. He may be quite pleasant. He might tell us, God bless you, as we leave the bus. All fine and good. So I want to make that kind of distinction to show that. I think as it says here, we first go about our Christianity and then we go about serving our neighbor in these spheres. Okay. First situation that I want to deal with is going to be a Wall Street article says, court rules that baker can't refuse to make a wedding cake for a gay couple. What about this? A Colorado appeals court on Thursday, this is back in August, ruled that a Denver area baker cannot refuse to make a wedding cake for a gay couple based on his religious beliefs. Rather than trying to present all of the facts that deal with this, I'm simply going to leave it at that and say, let's open it up. What kind of things, you may know more or less than I do about the particulars of this case or of a similar kind of case, what kind of things do we begin to think about, kind of based on our handouts, that would apply to this particular case? Mary?
This just popped into my head given recent happenings. Is the baker responsible for what the cake is used for? Is the gun dealer responsible for what the weapon he sells is used for?
Okay, I'm going to ask you a little bit more. We're concerned about the use of the cake, and we want to say, is that something he needs to be concerned with or not? Why would he need to know?
Is it any of his business? And depending, I mean, a wedding cake doesn't usually have words and things on it, you know, that are making a statement. I can see refusing to stock man, woman figures to put on the top, but that's old hat these days anyhow.
Okay. Declining to say there are no words on the cake, can you make a homosexual cake? What do you want for your brown with chocolate? What kind of cake do you want? I'd like a homosexual cake, please. I mean, what would that be? I mean, I don't know that there is such a thing. You know, Pillsbury doesn't have one of those you can pick up, you know. What now? Oh, it's got rainbow colors on it. Okay. Well, all right. We don't have two guy figures on the top. We don't have words on it. Yeah. So in that sense, it doesn't. Get me back to the use. What's my? Why would that be of issue? Or maybe it's not for you, but maybe it would be for somebody. Why would that be of issue, Sarah? All right. We need to talk about a conscience. Why would the conscience? In what issues does our conscience get involved? I think the conscience is definitely a concern. Who's a conscience a concern for?
The Christian.
For the Christian. Is the conscience a concern for the state?
No.
The state has no concern. If you come to them and say, I've got a conscience problem, you know, I've got a law here about stopping at stop signs. You say, well, I got a real conscience problem with that. They don't care, right? They don't ask you about that. You didn't stop. Is there a conscience problem? They don't want to know. That's not an issue. I would say similarly, is that an issue in the family, in the household?
That should be.
I didn't make my bed. Why? I've got a conscience problem with that, Mom.
From that perspective, no. The parent has to deal with their children, has to consider conscience when they're dealing with their child. They have to.
In the realm of the family or in the realm of being a Christian? It is. And so you would say as a Christian parent, you begin to say, I want to deal with my child's conscience, and I need to provide what? The word, the law, the gospel, that kind of thing. When it regards, you would say, eating, sleeping, making your bed, and whatever, not so. So this conscience falls into the realm of the church, and the church is particularly concerned with this. There is something that we're going to probably get to in another example, maybe not in this one. There is in our state, in our government, there is one issue in which conscience does. The state is concerned. Who said it? Oh, got it. Okay, so we do have conscience.
Yeah, let's fill that.
I don't know if I can do it.
Conscience.
conscience, the T-I-O-S. I don't know, something like that. There's some more letters there. I'll just squiggle. You know, looks like you. Looks like I knew it. conscientious.
You can't read it. It's right.
It's right, then. We do have instances in which there is allowed those who have a conscience objection, and we would say that relates back to what we would call our freedom, our conscience rights, our First Amendment rights, freedom of religion, in which you cannot be forced to go against, you know, against your religion, conscience. So there is something in which we're going to talk about that. For example, we're not going to get to it today, but when we deal with the issue, for example, of Kim Davis, she wanted, at a later point, she wanted to say, listen, is there a way that we can run the office without me having to sign the wedding document? It was a conscientious in which we say, there's always been this in which we say, provided that it doesn't overturn the rule of law, we will allow an individual to have a conscience objection.
Back up to the use of the cake, okay?
Yes.
If I'm just making a cake, that's not perhaps such a big deal. But going back to the other example Mary gives, okay, selling a gun. If I sell a gun to somebody and they're an upstanding citizen, as far as I know, there's no problem. What they're going to do with the gun, I don't know. But if I know that this person is likely to use that gun to commit a crime, then I'm becoming part of the problem, and I should have a problem with conscience. So, cake, dropping back to cake, nobody's going to kill anybody with cake unless they're really creative here, okay? However, that's still something that could be used to be harmful to you in other ways, depending. I mean, I don't know, but is that an issue for something like that?
And I'm being very vague, but I'm going to keep pushing the issue in which I think it's a right thing. All right, if this use of the cake is important, you might say, in the selling of guns, is the concern for the use of it? And you might say, well, someone might, you know, use it to terrorism, to kill somebody. And I'm going to say, yeah, but why do you care? You know, What is the, why are you so, why would this be of any concern to you? Why do you want to know about the use of this?
I think the question is, are you enabling or participating in the sin?
That is the issue. It becomes, now, why is that an issue, participation or being a, right, the concern, first of all, when we're dealing with any of these issues, we need to ask the question first of, are you sinning? Is this sin? Now, in order to ask, is this sin, we have to know about three uses of divine law. When someone comes to you and says, here's an Old Testament law, you know, wait a minute, is it a sin to do this? If someone comes to you and says, well, the Old Testament said you're not supposed to scar your body, right? Therefore, tattooing is absolutely wrong. We have to go back and say, wait a minute, what kind of divine law is this? Because I want to know what? I don't want to sin. So I need to know, first of all, is this a moral issue? Is this an issue of the moral law in which I will sin by doing this? Point blank, by making a cake, by selling a cake, is that a sin, or is it a sin if I sell this cake to a homosexual, or it's going to be used for a homosexual wedding, or it's going to...
Even if you refuse, that's not going to stop them going ahead and getting married.
But will you participate is the point. We're not concerned about their sin. The concern is, now, you know, yes, we acknowledge... there is no such thing as homosexual marriage, and to do that is sin. My concern, though, when I'm asking about the use, the concern is, will I participate, will I sin, because, you know, by doing this. Let me give you one example, and then Patty had her hand up, I'll come to her. Let me give you an example. In the scriptures, it says things like this. If somebody comes to you with the wrong doctrine, preacher, to preach and teach. It says, do not welcome him into your house. The implication is what? You don't provide him a salary, you don't provide him room and board, you don't support the ministry. Because it says you will participate in his error. And so we begin to go, whoa, that wouldn't, you know, participation, you would participate, you would then be, you know, that. This is where we're getting into the use, and we begin to say, okay, what about this? Patty, you got a hand.
Okay, if you're making the cake and you're selling it to them, but you're now pronouncing this, you're not actually married. So you're not, you know, and like, just like the people at the wedding, some will eat cake, some will not. So, you eat the cake, or then you're celebrating their wedding. But if you're not eating the cake, are you celebrating their wedding, or you're not, you know?
Okay, so I love that. I
got a lot for this.
Yeah. Very good. So is it only a problem if you eat the cake? You know? Yeah, because again, you begin to go, well, am I participating or am I not? But like you said, well, I don't even know about this.
Well, if you're at the reception where they're serving the cake, even if you don't eat it, you've been to the wedding.
All right, so we begin to kind of go, okay, is it making the cake? Is it being at the wedding? Is it knowing it? Is it eating the cake? You know what I mean? At what level you begin to go, now participation, am I participating by living in the same town that this is going on? You know, I mean, at what point do you kind of go, well, does it get closer and then it gets farther? Brian?
Yeah, my first instinct was this really isn't a big issue, but now that I've thought about it, what if you're a really famous cake maker and when your cake shows up at that wedding, everybody's like, yeah, that's from that place. It seems as if you're endorsing it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because nobody knows you made it, that's one thing. Let's say everybody knows you made it.
If you make the cake, you're testing the internet, says
Brian's Bakery bakes cakes for homosexual weddings.
Okay.
I think
That takes it beyond the kind of the cake showed up there and everybody says so. That takes it farther to I do this for this purpose. You know, that one implies you must be endorsing. This one says, oh, yes, I am endorsing.
Even if you don't put that out there, somebody else puts that out there.
Well, okay, but that's a little different, too. I mean, if I don't put it out there, if you say by doing this you're endorsing.
Well, I'm not saying he's saying it. I'm saying that somebody puts out, oh, you want to go to Brian's Baker. He makes fantastic cakes for homosexuals.
But my point is self-endorsement is different from other people saying that you do, whether you do or not. And you know, I want to stay with this example, but you know, I'm going to go to the next one, which goes with it is, what about the pizza maker I mentioned to you last time, in which he said no, somebody came and ordered his pizza, took it to the wedding, opened up the boxes, took pictures of it, and said, see? And so it was not, but someone said by that you were doing it. Whether, you know, I mean, we can go through a lot of different things with this. Tony?
Yeah, yeah.
I'll get Tony, Karen, and then Mary.
Muddy the waters a little further. It's one thing if the cake went out the door, so I put my name on it, see, I got a card on it, Cakes by Tony. But what if I'm catering? And they come in there and want me to cater then I got to be right there handing out the food to everybody. That really and they say, no, I can't do that. And they say, but you got it because you're in the business.
And as we'll go forward, I want to stay with a little bit more of this because I don't think we fleshed it out, but you know, where we also have to go then, there does come a point at which the government comes into this matter. And the government says, this is something you will do because you are in a business. And if you are, you know, you can have your private rights, but if you own a business in this state, they would say, that throws you into a different category, that throws you into, and this requires something else. And so we can go through this. I still want to stay with, though, my concern was about the use, first of all, and then we finally said it's because I don't want to participate, which really gets me back to, will I sin by doing this? Okay? Will I sin? We have established the moral law which states that homosexuality and its actions, whatever, are sin. That's not a case. And so you would say, can a Christian engage in homosexual activity? Can a Christian engage in gay marriage? Can the church? No, absolutely not. Is there a point at which you sin through your participation, through your endorsing? We've kind of given some of these. I want to push just a little bit more the feeding. Is it support to give someone who is sinning food? No, I mean, I said that rather generally, but I mean, you know, so when you own your burger joint, do you ask them, you know? I mean, I laugh, but I mean, when I go to give blood, there is a list that is unbelievably intrusive and personal, you know, about this. But I mean, so we have to have, you know, yes, I will sell you a hamburger, but do you belong to any lodges? No. Do you, are you homosexual, or have you ever been involved, and have you gone? No. I can give you a hamburger. I mean, you know, to feed someone do we have to be concerned when it comes to food? I had Tony, who did I say?
This is Karen, and then it was Mary.
Karen and Mary, and I'll come back to Claire, and then we'll get a couple more. Karen?
I think what you're probably trying to lead us to is that there is no technicality in the kingdom of the world that's going to determine this. That's why it's so muddy, because we're trying to come up with a technicality that determines, you know, in the kingdom of the world, some act, some physical act that determines.
I'm going to put this. This is in the kingdom of the world. We know in the church the problems, right? I can't accept them into membership. I can't give them Lord's Supper. I can't, you know, I mean, yes, I got that. But in the kingdom of this world, what follows? Is there natural law? Yes. But like you said, in the kingdom of this world, we got something different going on. And so you're right. I am trying to push this. You say a technical part, yeah. You're as vague as I am with this.
None of those technicalities are going to determine whether it's conscience that it ends up doing, I think.
Very good. One, two, who is next? Claire. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I have Mary?
It's all right. I was just going to say.
Go ahead, Mary.
I was okay with all of this, not that interested, until she said conscientious objection, because that is, religious freedom or not, if there is conscientious objection to being in the military, they will assign you something else or let you off the hook entirely. I guess it depends on the judge you're talking to and all that. And that's what this is, it seems to me, as far as the world is concerned, is conscientious objection. Because, as you say, you're just making food, or you're catering, or it's pizza, or you don't know what they're going to do with it, or we're all sinners, so where do you set the bar for that? You can't say you only sell hamburgers to people who are not sinners. You don't sell any hamburgers.
You know, I'm not quite sure I could sell you one, you know, rotten sinner you are. Okay, let me make one more point with the conscientious. When it comes to the government doesn't care whether it is valid or not. They simply want to know if you're sincere. If you tell them I cannot serve in attack positions and whatever, because I'm a pacifist, right? They're going to check to make sure that there is a history of your being a pacifist, and if that is the case, then there is, you know, kind of thing. When the prisoner says, I'm a Rastafarian and I have to smoke pot in a tent as a prisoner, they don't really care if that's a real religion. Believe me. Blows my mind, right? Or not, right? The concern is, you know, is this sincere and is this your religion and provided? In the church, if you come to me and say, I have a conscientious objection to taking the Lord's Supper from the chalice and I have to use an individual cup, I'm going to tell you, you know, your conscience may bother you, but is it valid? No, it's a misinformed conscience that says, I have to do it this way. And sometimes, you know, those come and say, listen, I grew up Jewish all my life, you know, I just can't eat a pig sandwich. I know it's okay, but your conscience, you know, your conscience bothers you. But I will have to ask, is it based upon sin? Will it be sin if you do that? And I've always thought that this is going to be a problem at some point in which one of you are going to be drugged before the judge and you're going to say, I've got a conscientious objection, and they're going to come to me and say, Pastor, does your religion really teach this? And I'm going to say, well, no, their conscience is bothered, but not because I taught them about this. It's just bothered because they're misinformed. I mean, pastors think about dumb things. I'm sorry, but... You know, I mean, because I think about some of these where people actually say, you know, my religion doesn't allow me to do this. And I'm kind of going, I don't know if that's really so. All right, can I get to Claire? Claire.
Being my common sense thinking here on this cake meal, I would just, because we can't have religion without faith. And every thought, word, and deed we do is sinful. You cannot win in this world. So why not just tell men, you know what, I am too booked up, I can't make your cake. I confess to God and say, I know I lied, but I cannot support this. What's the big deal? Because God's going to forgive you.
I went to my dad one time, and I said, I'm writing this paper, and I can't figure out how to spell this word. And he said, well, then use this word. And he gave me another one. Very practical. And I would say, just like you said, we just don't have to deal with this issue at all. We'll make our excuse and we'll leave the thing. And, you know, I mean, you kind of get around it. I think, and I'm going to say, I'm afraid that we might do this as a congregation, right? They say, we're going to throw your pastor in jail because he won't marry homosexuals. We could very easily say, no, I have a rule, and our rule is we only marry members. Now, it turns out that you can't be a homosexual and be a member of our congregation, so we're kind of off the hook. You know, I'm not quite sure I want to do that. I, you know, it is true that that's the only thing, but I want to say, if you want to throw me in jail for hate speech, I'm going to have to tell you the truth, and here's the truth. Tough. But you're right. Maybe, you know, most of the time, the exceptions kind of deal with it. Butch had his hand up. I don't think Butch has ever had his hand up. I'm calling him Butch.
He's got a true story to tell.
All right, let's hear it, Butch.
All right. The government is making us participate in a sin. Whenever they tell us we've got to sell them a cake or whatever.
That's the question. Is it a? Are they? If the government, very good. If the government says you have to sin, what is our rule?
No.
Absolutely not.
The rule is you give to God the things that are God's, and so we say no. That is absolutely clear. The point is at what point do we sin? That is, by our participation, do we sin? So, very good.
All right. Takes by Tony. Tony objects that, you know, I don't want to make a cake for a gay couple. I'm just going to, my price is going to be $5,000. I say, wow, I can't afford that. But a Christian comes in, oh, hello, Jack. Are you going to get married?
$200.
What does that
do? Yep, you will.
Discrimination.
Yep.
But you can't be in business in this country.
You can't be what?
You can't be in business without, if you're a hotel owner, are you going to make sure everybody that comes is married?
What if the requirement for being in business involves sinning? You know, I think that's a valid question in which, you know, I mean, I can give you a wild example, but I mean, I think if that's the case, sometimes we have to say what? I guess I can't be in business. Looks like, you know, when you find Christians, they'll all be growing their own food and doing their own things, and we won't be relying upon business. I had a couple. Let me get Vic. I have an ad, and then we'll come up this way. Vic?
Strictly from a business point, what you have when business is saying no shirt, no shoes, no service, are they discriminating against people without shirts and shoes?
Businesses do. Exactly. Exactly.
Well, I was just going to say, this is really coming home to me, because, you know, we are building this dining room and kitchen at our place, and it is going to be open to weddings. And I have already told Cole here, I said, if a gay couple comes and wants us to host a wedding reception here, what is going to be our reaction? Because I said, the government's going to sue us, but I said, as far as I'm concerned, we shut the business down. He even told us, he was taking a tour of college kids, and he said, my wife has told me that if we have to serve a gay couple, we're cutting the business down. And he said, they all laughed.
Just next week, where
they'll be there with their partner. So, what is? I mean, because I really worry about this, that we are going to be facing this.
You should keep that under your hat, because they'll send somebody over to shut you down before you get started.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, we're going to wait until you shut it down, and we're going to advertise. I mean, we're not going to have any.
Well, you're not going to advertise that you shut your business down. I think
When the Jew, the priest, the Levite, then finally one of them stopped and helped the Samaritan, who had rotten doctrine. We did not agree with him. I can't say that he was morally, but it might just as well be. And yet, he helped the guy. Nursed him to help, fed him, took him to an inn, you know, brought him back to health, said, I'll pay for his food, room, and board for 3 days.
But he didn't further the Samaritan's sin in doing so.
So there was a distinction between, you would say, to feed somebody, to care for somebody, to be a neighbor to someone who lives next door to you.
I mean, the gay couple, you're going to help them if they're in a car wreck and trapped. You're going to help them out, right?
I am. I am not asking that question at all. And if I got hamburgers, you give me a buck for your burger, and I'm going to give you a burger.
But I got a couple bucks for that.
If I'm providing this particular service. You begin to kind of go, okay, can I make a cake for a Methodist confirmation? I don't agree with that. And will I be participating by having cakes by Michael at a Methodist? See, they support Methodist confirmation. I don't think anybody says that. And I would say, similarly, I would say, I made you a cake. Take it, I made a cake for a homosexual wedding. I don't know, that's not my concern. I made the cake. You said make you a cake. I made it. That's as far as I go. Guns. If you come in and say, train me, teach me how to shoot policemen. We've got, all of a sudden, you're right, there becomes the use, if, in that instance, I sure feel like I am being a participant in this particular thing. Let me go to Eric and Sarah, and then I think it's Matt or Claire, or someone had a hand there. Eric?
In the same way that in our government, if we have an official who's Christians. I don't really want him to act as Christian. I want him to govern and do what he is in our government. And if you have a business, I want you to do what's in your business. If you're part of the government, you have to do that. Baking a cake is not, that's just a cake. It's not a cake. You can't sin by making a cake or by serving food to a homosexual. That's part of your business. You do that, you make a living. How can you sin by doing that?
My job in my state, you might say, is cake baking. Anything else that goes around that is irrelevant to this, except for me to make this cake. Now, I said, if I'm a cake maker, and I happen to be a Christian, I might, what, speak about my Savior who died for me, and I might whatever. If someone comes to me and says, in order to make this cake, you have to profess that Allah is the one true God, I would say, that really is not a part of my cake making at all. You now are impinging upon my being a Christian. You just left that kingdom and you're forcing me to deny, you know, what I believe according to my Christianity. And at this point I say, absolutely not. Can you tell me, and this is where I'm going to go a little bit further, I don't think it has anything to do with the use in this kind of thing, despite the gun use or whatever. But when you make me say, by putting words on a cake, I want you to make a cake and I want you to write, Allah is the one true God on it, you are forcing me to do what? Right. Now, again, this is not a part of my cake making. You're forcing me as a Christian. When you force me to do something that will sin, I absolutely have to say, no, I will feed homosexuals, Muslims, Methodists, whoever it is. I will protect them. I will provide for them. That's all a part of my state. That's a part of the kingdom of this world only. But don't put me over into where, as it relates to my dealing with others, where I have to do something else. I had a couple other ones I didn't get to, and I'm hitting at 10. Who was behind Eric? Sarah.
Isn't there also a right of business that allows you to, you can deny any request that comes from your district?
We are going to get to that one next time, and I'm going to put it on here. What I mean is this. I'm going to write down right of business kind of things. Here is the thing. What if I'm going to put it up this way, state law versus practice. What if we have a freedom of speech in this country, but a someone in government, judge, says, I'm going to take your free speech away? What if what is on the books is not what is going on? What if you have a right to bear arms and you're told you cannot? Sarah, in other words, you say, wait a minute. You know, this is not a question of morality. It's not a question of conscience. It's simply a question that all stays within the state. What do you do? Because as Christians, we want to obey the state. We want to give to Caesar what is Caesar's, but what if there is contradiction going on? So I'm going to hold that off for next time. I think it will affect. Was it Claire or was it Matt that had a hand? Matt?
No. I'll see you next week.
Okay, he'll ask me next week. I am a little bit after 12. 12. My wife will be back Tuesday and everything will be fine again, okay? I've given some things, but I want to continue to, and that's the problem with the real life examples is that there are a lot of issues. I think that there are principles that need to be applied, and I'm going to kind of try to group those and do that, but it's going to take some time, as well as I don't think that in every instance we have an absolute answer where we say Christians have to do it this way always. I'm sorry, it's just not. A shutting down a business or keeping a business open, or one might say this and one might say this. I do think we have to get to the real issues, and some of these things are going to highlight how we address that. I want to continue and kind of wrap up this one dealing with a baker, as well as I'm going to throw the pizza example into it. Then I want to move forward with the issue of Kim Davis, a state clerk, in signing marriage certificates or licenses. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have provided your Son, who is our Savior from sin. And for that we are sure and we have the hope of eternal life. As we live in this world, though, we ask that you would continue to guide us, that we may not sin, but that we too might follow the laws which you have given, the moral laws for this life and this the kingdom of this world. As well, we ask that we might continue to be a light to you, showing forth our Christianity in those ways in which it is appropriate. In Jesus' name we pray.